Please be seated. Well, I want to thank Hugh. He got the Bishop's sermon and David's sermon up on the line. And I listened to them both again this week, and I encourage you all, you ought to do the same thing. They're both just really good sermons. Although I do have a contention with Father David. Yes.
Where?
Right behind me. Oh, okay. He pronounced the name of the town that's up there on the Mount of Olives, Bethphage. It's spelled B-E-T-H, Beth, P-H-A-G-E. Now that sounds like phage to me, Bethphage, but he pronounced it Bethphage. So Miranda and I were talking about that. I've never heard anybody pronounce it that way. So she goes, being the good reference librarian that she is, to the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, and she looks it up. Doggone it. Don't you hate it when somebody's right? I mean, it's just so annoying when he's right. Bethphage?
Person who's ever got it right.
I'll be honest, I looked it up.
Otherwise, his sermon was really nice. Anyway.
Other than the fact he was right.
But he did say something that's really important for us. He said, and this is important for us tonight too, and that is that the journey through this week and see what salvation looks like. I like that. That's a good word. And then he said, walk with Jesus through this week. And so I'm inviting you to do that tonight. You see, God's word for this congregation from the beginning of this year was that, behold, I am doing a new thing. And doing a new thing is not something new to Jesus. All right? This is Maundy Thursday, and he is, and his disciples are in the upper room. It is the Passover. Now, mind you, in John's Gospel, there's a little bit of a different timeline, but for the sake of consistency tonight, it's the Passover. Okay? And this is familiar territory for the disciples. They've done this every year since they were tots. Okay? But Jesus is doing something new this night, all right? He's turned this familiar feast on its head, and he's doing something completely new, and yet something completely old. He's making the old new, all right? So Jesus is inviting all of us to join him in this upper room, and he's saying, come with me, come on, come with me. And he has a message for us. But more importantly than the message is he has an experience for us. And he wants us to enter into that experience. Both Bishop Bates and Father David have exhorted us to walk with Jesus through this week. Now, as I was working on this sermon, Miranda can attest to this, it was not easy. I tried 6 ways to Sunday to come up with a sermon. This, what we have here, is what I call the 5th incarnation of my sermon, all right? I don't know how many hours I put into this, but it's been hard. Anyway, so what I gathered was that what the Lord was saying is he wants our company. He wants us to come with him, and he's inviting us to walk with him through this week. And he wants us to come into the upper room tonight and then to move on to Gethsemane through the night, and then to move on to Calvary, as Father David said, to join the parade to Calvary on Friday. He wants us to enter into the fullness. And so I was trying to come up with a way to engage us into doing that. Because, as Bishop Bates said, only when you have walked with him all the way to Calvary, only when you have died with him, can you be resurrected in him. Amen? Amen. All right. So, Jesus is doing something new, and the only way we can comprehend this new thing is to experience it. So, come with me, all right? Come to the upper room. It's a familiar feast, but Jesus is doing something new here. He's taking the old and he's making it new. Behold, Jesus said, I make all things new. Jesus can do that for each one of us as well. So come with me. Now, I'm asked Father David to be a narrator. I'm going to be the old, and Christopher's going to be the new. So join us.
I'm going to go.
You're the newest version.
It is the Passover of the Lord.
Jewish men are required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate the great feast of the Lord. The Torah dictates that 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. Passover is the first of those feasts. Jesus and his disciples have come to Jerusalem as commanded by the Torah. And now the Lord turns toward you, and he says, come with me. You are invited to join him for the Passover. So come to the upper room. It is a familiar feast, but Jesus is doing something new. He is taking the old and making it new. As he declares in the 21st chapter of Revelation, behold, I make all things new. Jesus can do that for each one of us as well. So come with me. Come, let us see how the Lord can take that which is old and make it new.
The Torah requires that the Passover is to be celebrated in every home. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they shall take every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then a man and his neighbor next to his house shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Neither Jesus nor his disciples live in Jerusalem. They have no home in which to celebrate the feast. They are required by the Torah to celebrate, and they are more in number than the 10 required for one lamb. They've met all of the legal requirements. They only need a place to have their meal. So Jesus commissions John and Peter to find a place.
But Jesus makes all things new. He did not use call-ahead seating or a standing reservation. He moved in faith and asked his disciples to come with him in that faith walk. Peter asks a question that reveals his doubt about this new way, saying, where will you have us prepare the Passover? Jesus said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters and tell the householder, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. There, make ready. This was surely not what either was expecting. But Peter and John went, as they were told, and found it as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. So let us go with them and join our Lord at table.
The householder has prepared a guest room for us. He is pleased to play the role of host. As we each settle in for the dinner and recline at table, he brings a basin of water and a towel. The law requires that hospitality be shown to all visitors, and that the host wash the feet of the invited guests. For example, when the 3 angelic men appeared to Abram, the patriarch said to them, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And when 2 angels appeared to Lot in Sodom, he said to them, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet.
But Jesus makes all things new. Though he was the guest of honor, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Jesus has taken the age-old practice of the Old Covenant and given it a new perspective. He says to us, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Jesus has given us the example and has modeled new covenant hospitality. We are to receive any and all as guests and to treat them with respect. The rule of St. Benedict takes this one step further, saying, "Let all guests who arrive be received as Christ. And let the abbot pour the water on the guest's hands, and let both the abbot and the whole brotherhood wash the feet of all the guests." Jesus has taken what is old, and he has made it new.
And now the meal begins. The wife of our host lights the candles at the head of the table. The first cup of wine is poured for each guest. The host hides the middle matzah, the afikoman, and it will be retrieved later. The story of the first Passover in Exodus is told, and a second cup of wine is poured. The host then pronounces the blessing, and dinner begins. After supper, the afikoman is retrieved and is broken. The broken bread is distributed to all, and a third cup of wine is poured. Everything is done in accordance with tradition, a tradition dating back to Moses and the Exodus.
But Jesus makes all things new. When the afikoman is broken, Jesus looks around at all of his disciples and declares, "This is my body, broken for you." The matzah is an unleavened bread made with stripes and having holes in it. It was prophesied by Isaiah that with his stripes we are healed, and that he was pierced for our transgressions. As Jesus holds it in his hands, the stripes and the holes are plain for all of us to see, just as his stripes and the holes in his body will be visible tomorrow. Moses sealed the old covenant with animal's blood. He sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the altar, the stone tablets, and all the people. As he anointed the people with the blood, he said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." But Jesus made the promise new, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." It is no accident that this cup in the Seder meal is called the cup of redemption. Jesus has fulfilled the promise. He has sealed the covenant, not with the blood of animals, but by the stripes of his scourging, with the holes in his hands and feet, and by his own blood poured out on the cross. Jesus has made the old covenant new.
The meal is not over. There is a fourth cup of wine to be poured. It is the cup of praise. The host prays, "Pure and holy one, dwelling on high, raise up your people with love and lead us to Zion in joyful song." The hope is that God will instill the desire in each of us to love as we are commanded in the Torah. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And we pray that God will inspire us to honor the call to praise him with voices lifted in the praise songs of the Holy Psalter. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." There is an expectation that Elijah will come and that Messiah will not be far behind. Much rejoicing follows and the singing of celebratory songs. The blessing over the final cup is said. "We praise you, Adonai, our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine." And the wine is consumed.
the Seder is ended.
But Jesus makes all things new. This is not the end, but a new beginning. As the host prays that God will raise up his people with love, the incarnation of love himself gives us a new perspective. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus says that his new commandment is not that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but to love one another as I have loved you. St. John tells us in his Gospel that when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loves us to the end. He loves us with his life. He gives us his body and his blood. Though sinless, he takes our sins upon himself, and he serves us, even washing our feet in his own humble servanthood. Jesus makes all things new.
The Seder concludes with singing, and St. Mark tells us that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus beckons us now. Come with me. But where is he going? Yes, to the Mount of Olives, to Gethsemane. And there too, he will do something new. New things can be exciting, but they can also be discomforting. And sometimes, even frightening. Look at any child on Christmas Day as he or she opens the new gifts under the tree. Children love to receive new toys. But that same child may be just a bit fearful of a new school. Even adults may find joy in a new car, but have difficulty adjusting to a new job. Jesus makes all things new. And we may have trouble, just as his disciples did, adjusting to these new changes. It's not until the Holy Spirit came that they could boldly embrace his new way. But his way, the new way, is the way of truth, the way of life. Walk in his way. It leads to Gethsemane. Watch with him there tonight. But his way also leads to Calvary. Do not be afraid to die with him. For if we had died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." Come with me, Jesus beckons us. My new way leads to resurrection and new life. Come with me, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen.